Dave Sheldon.
Man, John Hallen, my guest from Warren Hallen LLP. Also, he's part of the Liberal Party of Canada. He's the president here of the BC chapter of the Liberal Party of Canada. Man, John, I said before the break, from a constitutional or from a legal perspective, and this is why we could bring a guy like you in here. Not that you're our, now, your expertise is not constitutional law, is it?
No, it's not. It's personal injury law.
It's personal injury law, exactly. So just so we're clear on this, this is not legal advice that we're giving you, and again, consult your local constitutional lawyer for this. But from your standpoint, is the lieutenant governor compelled to give Mr. Horgan and Weaver a chance because they have the 44-seat majority that is required? But like you said, with the slimmest of majorities like that, if one thing goes sideways, this whole thing goes into a handbasket. We're doing it all over again. Do they let them do that, or do they say, go back to the people and have me get me a firm mandate? Can she do that as well?
Yeah, you know what, Dave, you're going to get a lot of different constitutional opinions on a point like this, but practically speaking, I don't think we're going back to the polls anytime real soon. I think what will happen is Christie will be given an opportunity to present her throne speech. When that fails, as we expect it will, and it'll be a vote of non-confidence, then the lieutenant governor will go to John Horgan and ask him to form a government. I suspect that that's the process that's going to be followed here. Can the lieutenant governor agree to an election? Yes, but I think under these circumstances, with that agreement that the Greens and the NDP have, that's very unlikely.
It's stunning that we look at this as the slimmest of majorities. Normally you have five or six seats to play with. In this particular case, you now have to worry about a Speaker of the House. How does that work? How does that get taken care of? There's all kind of machinations that have to happen here, so this is not quite done by any stretch yet, is it?
That's right. It's not, because the other thing is the Speaker, by convention, typically has to vote with the governing party. So what is that going to look like?
Exactly.
If there's a Speaker elected and Christie gets a shot at presenting a throne speech, how is that going to play out?
It's going to be real interesting to see how that shakes down. Also, I look at what I look at with the Green Party and NDP. There were a number of planks that they're diametrically opposed on, where they have said that we'll bury some of our differences at this point and come to a consensus, or we can bitch and moan about the things that you're going to talk about, but we're not going to vote against them. I find that to be incredibly compromising as far as your party's concerned when it comes to trying to make policy.
Absolutely. You know, the one thing that struck me is the tolls. I mean, we spoke about this last time I was on your show.
Yeah.
The tolls, the amount of traction they've had in this election. First off, it led to a lot of the NDP seats south of the Fraser.
Agreed.
Now it's become part of the agreement between the BC NDP and the Greens, and it's actually an area that they don't agree on. So the Greens have to sort of essentially roll over on this point and say, well, we're okay with removing the tolls on the bridges. But it just amazes me that issue it permeates throughout the entire process. And now that issue in itself can have a major impact on who's going to form government.
Well, and now you have a look at it from a standpoint as well of other aspects. And I've said this since the whole conversation began about a coalition. What's the one item that you die on? If you're the Green Party, you've decided to agree on this supply and confidence agreement. So they're going to make sure the budget's taken care of, and any kind of confidence vote, they won't vote against. That's their deal. But if they have something that they are fundamentally opposed to in the next 4 years, like you said, Manjot, do they have to swallow it? And then what does that do for their political currency for people that voted Green, because they didn't want to vote NDP, and now are siding with the NDP on platforms that they were diametrically opposed to? I don't see how this made any sense. I thought they were going to go issue to issue, because I thought that was a better way for them to cherry pick what they want to get involved with while still maintain their integrity on their plan.
Yeah, and the issue that when I look through their agreement, and I read the agreement last night, when I look through their agreement, the issue that I see as being the most difficult for them to achieve is having this referendum by the end of 2018.
Yeah.
On proportional representation. I mean, that's going to be just the logistics that go into that. So I can see the Green Party not being happy if that doesn't come to fruition. It's possible that it won't by the end of 2018, and that could be what killed the entire thing.
Well, and ask yourself the question, what is the priority? is the priority affordability, or is it proportional representation, something that we deal with once every 4 years? I mean, that to me is the biggest single problem. Let me get this right. So one of your big stumbling blocks moving forward will be exactly how we mete out the votes and who gets what seat 4 years from now, when I need to deal with accountability, affordability, transportation, health care, infrastructure. I mean, all kinds of different things that are coming up here, and you're going to talk to me about proportional representation? The priority is totally misaligned at this point.
Yeah, that'd be completely misaligned. The priority should be affordability. It should be dealing with affordability when it comes to housing. It should be dealing with transportation. It should be dealing with issues that matter to British Columbians and not how we're going to sort out the next election. But based on what I've heard Dr. Weaver say in the past, it appears that is a big priority to him. And that is one, when I look at the agreement, it looks like that is a point that they may not be able to follow through on.
No, they won't be. Manjot Hallam, my guest here, we're having a conversation about a number of different things involving the BC provincial election, federal politics as well. I look at Site C, and they're going to put that to review now, if I'm correct on that, Manjot. And I find it intriguing about that as well, because it was such a hot-button issue for the Green Party to stick a pin in Site C. Again, what happens now if they get to Site C and they do review on it and they find that there's a shred of economic viability in Site C? Are we going to take economic politics over environmental politics with the Green Party? Again, I find it's intriguing to me that we're having a conversation about the policies of a party that achieved just 16% of the mandate in the province of British Columbia.
I agree. It's amazing. It's amazing. And there's so many points here where this agreement could fail. So, like you said earlier, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think the first step is to see what's going to happen with respect to the throne speech and the election of the speaker. I think a lot of people are overlooking that. That's going to really make a big difference in how this all plays out in the coming weeks.
Okay, before I let you go, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. I'm going to say to you, okay, if you had to go into your crystal ball and figure out what you're going to see in the next month or so, what do you think will happen? Do you think it'll play out the way that it's going to be like right now where Christie goes in, throne speech, gets defeated, they bring in Horgan and Weaver, and they start to run government? Is that what you think is going to happen?
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Okay. Christie's going to have an opportunity. Throne speech is not going to pass. Lieutenant Governor is going to ask Horgan to form government. They're going to have a tenuous coalition. It'll survive 6 months to a year, and then we'll be back to the polls after that.
So 6 months to a year from now, we're going to be doing this all over again, despite the fact these two jokers said that they're going to go 4 years. I guess we'll.
That's my prediction.
And I don't think you're wrong. I've had a number of people say that, including people who voted NDP on this program, saying that they don't believe it will last any more than a year. Manjot, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much for taking part in the conversation. We'll have you on again soon.
Great. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate
All the best. You bet. Manjot Hallam from Warnet Hallam LLP. Also, he is the Liberal president, probably the president of the Liberal Party of Canada, BC. Wing. All right, 8:26 here on the program, and I'll tell you right now, in fact, I got to do this right now, Chris.